I like it.
I love it.
Sad.
Angry.
Share it.
Retweet it.
My feed.
It's that time of the week again where we get to snoop into what's been filling someone else's social media feeds. Elizabeth Kulas is a reporter and the host of the ABC's Days Like These podcast, and she joins me now. Welcome.
Well, hello, Patricia. How are you?
Good. All right. Let's just get a taste of this.
We're out here at the island. This would be and could be a perfect spot for him to hide. Not too many people out here, but there's a lot of environmental things that we're going to fight. So here we go. The search now is really on. The search has just begun.
Okay, that was Dwayne Chapman, also known as Dog the Bounty Hunter, an American TV personality who's taken it upon himself to try and hunt down the fugitive Brian Laundry. Give me a bit of the background to this story. Who is Brian and why is he on the run?
So Brian is a young guy. He's in his early 20s, and he and his girlfriend, her name is Gabby Petito, they took off on a cross-country road trip, kind of van life road trip across the US a couple of months ago. And they were documenting their journey, you know, as many young couples do, I guess, going on these kind of long cross-country journeys on social media. Earlier this month, though, Gabby's body was discovered in a national park in the United States, and Brian, it's claimed, left her on the road for a couple of days to return to his home in Florida, but he then went on a camping trip himself. He's been missing for over a month, and it sparked this kind of, well, it's really like a nationwide manhunt, including, you know, being led by the FBI, but it's had so much social media interest that people like Dog, the Dwayne Chapman, the bounty hunter, has gotten involved in this search for Brian. And social media has just been integral to the search at every step.
And the amount of people trying to solve the case online is huge. Why has the case drawn such massive interest, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think partially the social media journey that the couple had been documenting, the things, you know, the TikTok posts, the Instagram stories that they had created as they were on this journey have become these kind of digital breadcrumbs. And I think there's so much material there that armchair detectives have kind of latched onto that and gone into such an insane amount of detail. I mean, there's everything from unearthing body cam footage from an encounter that they had with police, going through Brian's Spotify playlist, his Pinterest boards, poring over all the images that they'd collected on the road, looking at the books they were reading, the clothes they were wearing, the captions. You know, I think the amount of material has been part of it, the amount of social media material. But also, you know, the focus is on this couple has drawn a lot of criticism as well. Not that it's not a worthy thing of attention, of course, but that there are so many people that go missing in the United States and around the world every year. And specifically, say, women, if they're coming from Indigenous communities or communities of colour, not having that level of attention, anything near the level of attention that this case has attracted.
And people have become seriously invested in the story. What does it tell us about people's need to be part of the story and have their say?
Yeah, I've become completely invested in it, I think. And the frustration as this has gone on, I mean, the fact Brian hasn't been found, the level of frustration on social media has kind of been boiling over this week as little parts of the case get updated by authorities. And I think, you know, that frustration has led to outlandish theories that I've been seeing on my Instagram and TikTok feeds this week about, you know, Brian living in a bunker under his parents' garden bed in their backyard to, you know, thinking he's across the border in Canada, all kinds of things. And I think the reality is, you know, the law moves at a different pace, and how much law enforcement can release to the public is different to the social media appetite that this case has inspired.
All right, from a manhunt in America to discomfort in our living rooms, a big leap now. David Chappelle's new Netflix special, The Closer, has been getting people talking online, I think for a lot of the wrong reasons. Why are people so riled up?
So, yeah, Dave Chappelle, big-time stand-up comedian, has this huge Netflix special that came out earlier this month. It was supposed to be the sixth in a series of huge blockbuster specials that Netflix has put out. But, you know, some of the jokes in this special really are not appropriate. I mean, there's transphobic remarks. He's aligned some of his opinions, at least through the jokes, with public figures like J.K. Rowling. And Netflix has had this blockbuster year as a platform, you know, bolstered by the pandemic and then big breakout hits like Squid Game. They've had an amazing year, you know, a PR year and also outreach year. But this issue is going to be a very big one, an important one, I think, for the company, both publicly and internally. Its CEO came out this week and said that he supported Dave Chappelle and the content on screen, quote, he said, doesn't directly translate into real world harm. But, you know, we know that that's not true, right? Media and what we say and the kinds of things that get put out there, they matter. Words matter. And a Netflix engineer has come out on Twitter and said, hey, this is not appropriate. We need this pulled from the platform. That person was then put on leave. The company said, no, it's not about this tweet. It's about this person trying to enter a company review, basically trying to crash a meeting and have, you know, in protest and have their voice heard. But overnight, a large group of Netflix staff, about 1,000 at least and counting, have said they'll walk off the job next week in a virtual walkout to protest it and have this special pull from the platform.
Which is huge. It's not uncommon for comedians to make people feel uncomfortable. I mean, that's what they do. Let's face it.
Well, of course, like the social, and social media commentary around this is, where is comedy? Where does it meet inappropriate commentary like this? I mean, what is the line? You know, that's and where does it fit in with cancel culture?
So, what's the answer to that? Is it, you know, are there some areas that are just off limits?
Well, I think that some of the really thoughtful commentary about this on social media is saying, you know, the special is not just about comedy. It's about questioning the very validity of transness. That's what the Netflix engineer Tara Field had tweeted about earlier this week. And I think we have to agree that that isn't appropriate, nor in any way comedic or funny. So, you know, personally, I think that's a very valid point to be making.
Pretty valid, I agree. Now, I never thought I'd say these words, but the brick phone is back. Oh, God, I've gone into a time machine, into my past, the 90s. I feel,
is it good or is it bad, Patricia?
Yeah, mixed feelings, good and bad. I feel 18 again hearing that. So the Nokia 6310, is that what it was called? I don't remember, is making a comeback.
6310.
There you go. How is the news being received online?
Well, I feel like there's two reactions. I think there's people, say, in their 40s who are saying, this is fantastic. It's everything I want in a phone. By that they mean, it has really long battery life. You can basically drop this thing in water or throw it against a brick wall and it'll survive. You know, there's no cracked screens here. I think it's quite sweet. Nokia saying it doesn't have a huge amount of features, but it does have access to an FM radio channel, Patricia. So, you know, you are at the cutting edge of technology with this thing. But the battery life can last for like 400 hours. People are loving that. And then the other side of my social media feed is saying, what is Nokia? So I think that kind of sums up the generational divide here.
What is Nokia? I love that. Seriously, is there anything the Nokia 6310 can offer that our smartphones can't?
Well, there'll be, I guess it's the fact that it doesn't offer social media. The other thing is that people are saying, well, you know, the greatest feature that it needs and does have is that it'll have the snake game on it, which I have fond memories of playing on my high school bus. So, you know, I think it's not a bad thing. In Australia, though, I must note, you're not going to be able to use it. Our 3G compatible version, it's not going to be available. So you actually couldn't use it as a phone here. So before I get anybody too excited, I don't know how compatible it'll be with a mobile network here.
Right. So just get over it already. We've introduced it to people, Elizabeth, and now we have to tell them, just move on.
I'm sorry. Unless you want a nostalgic accessory. And look, it may still pick up our FM radio feed, so you never know.
Oh, done deal. Elizabeth, thank you so much for taking us through your feed.
Thanks, Patricia.
Elizabeth Kulas is a reporter and the host of Days Like These podcast, which you can find on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your good podcasts.